in the whole 6010.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Happy Friday, November 6th to you, Field Yates, Matthew Berry, Daniel Dopp, and of course, Stefania Bell hanging out with you in our cushy new digs. We have made it through 1 week in our spacious accommodations, which of course, for those that are wondering, how did we actually land in these new spaces? The answer is...
I'll tell you exactly how. Do you want me to reveal the secret?
You can have it.
Yeah, like we just showed up. Like honestly, like what? We could get kicked out at any minute. Like,
no, I thought it was because Stefania... It was trying to make Stefania more familiar, palatial estate.
We're at her palatial estate?
Like... You know, is that not true or no?
Yeah, it is. But I'm just saying, like, that's where I was going. Like,
that's
we just
right.
showed
I
up.
Like, but I like, still
we
like just, to
we
keep
weren't invited.
Peasants. I like to keep the peasants at a distance.
So. Smart. It's very, very smart. We're in the, yeah. No, we're like in a, green room. For people that can't see at home, like, we're like in a little green room area that Stefania keeps for her guests.
Like, it's like a waiting area. Room in a doctor's office that Stefania has in her house.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Underneath these papers is an old Highlights magazine.
What a great reference!
Wow, great call right there. We got a lot to get into today. Tons.
By the way, Daniel, which one of us is goofus and which one of us is gallant? Gallant.
I think you're gallant, Matthew.
You think I'm gallant?
Yeah.
Field is goofus.
Field's goofus.
I'll take it. Tons to get into.
Do you
today.
Get this reference at all, Field? By
I
the
know
way?
Highlights magazine. Yes, it had sort of the fun script at the top of it. That's about as far as I can go with this joke.
Yeah. No, it was an older children's magazine, and it's often in like waiting rooms for doctors and dentists.
No, I know that part.
And
right.
there was a feature in the magazine every week, which was called there was two cartoon characters, Goofus and Gallant.
Right.
And as you might imagine, Goofus did the wrong things, and Gallant did the right things.
Gotcha.
So
well, you're Goofus.
I would think so.
I was trying to be polite.
I know you were trying
gallant.
To be. You were trying to be gallant. Well, you were trying to be gallant, but I'm pretty sure I'm Goofus. Just staying on brand. I'm just
I was
going to
say,
honest.
Without knowing much about these two characters, you are accurately Goofus. I like that Stefania is just losing her mind over there.
Yeah.
So coming up on the show today, we're going to preview as much as we can for Week 9. We're going to talk about what happened last night. Aaron Rodgers is still a bad man.
Yes, he is.
And we're going to open the show with some COVID-19 updates because we're going to open up every Friday show, most likely, with some COVID-19 updates.
Because that is the world we live in now.
It is indeed the world we live in. Within the last 15 or so minutes, two separate teams, the Atlanta Falcons and also the Miami Dolphins, have announced that they are going to work remotely today. The Falcons noted that it's a football staff member, not a player. The Dolphins noted it is an assistant coach, again, not a player. As of right now, and we're having this conversation live at 10:03 Eastern time, no impact on either game that either team is playing in. So, of course, the Dolphins play the Cardinals on Sunday. Falcons play the Broncos on Sunday. No impact on either of those games as of right now, but we'll continue to monitor it. Watch Fantasy Football Now, 10 a.m. Eastern time on Sunday.
Is it me? Listen. We all know that like I'm the dumb one of the group. So
you're the goofus.
Feel free. I'm goofus. And so you both of you much much smarter in pretty much every aspect, but it's specifically COVID-19 and the protocols in the NFL.
Why not all of you? Why only both of you? Why only two people call that as being smarter than you?
Why do you think?
Matthew, come on! I called you gallant.
Why do you think? Listen, because on the TV show, we'll say stuff like, hey, Daniel, can you put all this mayonnaise in your beard? And you're like, okay.
Sure, you want me to put it on my belly button too? Or?
I mean, just, you know, yeah, listen, you and I are both right down there, you know,
right.
In Dum Dumville.
Right.
Anyway, look, the point is like, these two are brainy. And so you guys are smarter than I about COVID-19 and the protocols and what the NFL is doing. But it feels like to me, especially given the fact that they played the game last night, it feels like in more recent times that they've just been sort of like, assuming everyone else tests negative, they're just sort of, you know, plowing ahead. That I don't want to say they're not taking precaution because they obviously are in a significant way. But I'm just saying that, like, if ever there was a game to be canceled or postponed, it would have been last night where they had multiple players on both sides of the ball, you know, on the COVID-19 list, and they played it. They played the game last night.
I have a simple answer for you, and then I will direct you to a clip. I actually am going to, you're incentivizing me to post it because I did a hit with on the Sinead Golick show yesterday and mm-hmm. explained this exact thing. And it'll take a little longer than I want to use up in our show. But the bottom line is that every time there are these league conference calls, they talk about the things they have learned and how what they have learned over the course of the time that they've been dealing with this, which is from the summer when training camp started to now, is that the most important thing is to isolate or wall off those who contract the virus and basically prevent spread within the system. So to the extent they can do that, they're comfortable doing it, they bring those folks out. So either test positive or they've been exposed to someone, they're high risk, close contact, and they are removed from the facility. And as long as they feel that there's not an ongoing risk of transmission, they are comfortable with the facility being open and games continuing as scheduled. If they felt there was a situation where they didn't know the origin or the source of the positive tests, or they were worried there was an ongoing risk of transmission, then there would be a rescheduling. And so far, there is, according to the league and the NFLPA, they do this together in consultation with their experts, no evidence of any on-field transmission thus far. It's all been in meetings, gatherings outside the facility, or those kind of close contacts. So I'll just leave it at that for now. But it is not because, yes, of course, they want to play the games. Of course, they are looking to do as much on schedule as possible. But in the context of what they have learned, that is how they're making the decision. If they thought there was a risk, because look, it wouldn't look good for them, right? If they had a game and all of a sudden there were 20 or 30 folks who tested positive. So that's some of the behind the scenes of why the decision is being made.
I told you she's smart because she's right. If 20 or 30 people got COVID from a night game, it would not look good.
It would not look good. But let's plow forward because there's a ton to get to today. Let's start with last night's recap. Anything else on the COVID update you want to add, Stefania, around the league?
Just that Dawson Knox was activated, the Bills tight end from the reserve COVID-19 list, and the Bears facility is open today. They had worked remotely yesterday.
Yes, they did. A couple of players notably going on the COVID-19 list yesterday include Chris Jones, Chief star defensive lineman, and also Trent Brown, back on the COVID list 6 days after being removed from the Las Vegas Raiders COVID-19 list. But let's get into last night's game. Recap the brilliance of Aaron Rodgers, 305 passing yards, 4 touchdowns, 28.9 fantasy points. With a lot to get to today. Don't think we need to dive too far into this one, Matthew, but Aaron Rodgers has been incredible. He's got 4 games already this year with 4 touchdown passes.
New episode of the Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus dropped this morning, and in it, Daniel Dopp and I did a quarterback re-rank for the rest of the season, and Aaron Jones came in as QB6. Aaron Rodgers came in as QB6 for Daniel and I for the rest of the season.
Okay.
So just, yeah, like, just, you know.
Lock it in, baby.
Lock it in. Just a no-brainer. Set it, forget it. Don't even think about it.
If Aaron Jones can do what he did last night when he was not 100%, you can lock him into lineups as well, as he had 58 rushing yards, 5 catches, 21 yards. Stefania, by my eyes, and I'm no trained doctor, did not look like a guy that was hurting much last night.
No, and I think, you know, Aaron Jones wanted to play. Again, I think if they had their druthers, it would have been another week, but given the situation that they had and they were comfortable that he had gotten through these limited workouts, and ultimately they were put in a position where it would have been hard to bench him, given that he was able to get through the limited workouts. But the big test obviously comes the day after and how he feels.
Maybe those 3 extra days because they played on Thursday night will make the difference between his efficiency next week. But we'll talk about week 10 when it's week 10. Devontae Adams has a chance to be a good receiver in this league. He now has 3 straight games with 30-plus fantasy points, Matthew. Thank goodness. I mean, this is amazing. You know who's the highest-scoring wide receiver in fantasy this year? He's missed 2 games.
Right.
He left halftime at 1.
Right.
He's lived, yeah, bye week.
He's basically missed 2.5 games, a regular season play, plus the Packers had a bye, and yet still the number one wide receiver in fantasy. I think that speaks to both how brilliant he's been and the connection between him and Aaron Rodgers. And honestly, it's also about how well Aaron Rodgers has played, because as Aaron Rodgers goes, so does Devontae Adams.
Pretty sure.
And then the other thing is that at the top of the other wide receivers that were going around that range, other than DeAndre Hopkins, it's been a little bit of a disappointment. You know, Tyreek Hill, obviously Michael Thomas's season has been lost.
Tyreek Hill
has been great, but he's been more inconsistent. Like, he's had some huge games, then he's had a few games where he just didn't.
That's like the argument that we had in the preseason.
Look, I took the L on DeAndre Hopkins versus Tyreek Hill in week one. Like, yeah. I mean, honestly,
Tyreek Hill's been great, too. We're picking nits, but you're right. More like the Michael Thomases of the world and, you know, someone like Juju who we thought could bounce back, or Odell.
Mike Evans and Chris Godwin were basically wide receiver five and six in most drafts this year. So
agreed. Those are the kind of players that have not met expectations. Devontae Adams has actually exceeded them. I think, if I'm not mistaken, he's the highest scoring player on a points per game basis this season. Something or nothing here. Marquez Valdes-Scantling, two touchdowns on two catches. I have an answer. What's yours?
I think it's nothing.
Agreed. He also had like a brutal drop. Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, who had the chance to talk to the Packers before the game, they at least intimated that there's some frustration amongst Aaron Rodgers and his non-Devontae Adams pass catchers and their consistency. And, of course, Scantling does have the two touchdowns that may have salvaged your day, or more than salvaged your day if you played him. But we've seen this. We've heard this song way too many times before, right? Way too many times.
So 19.3 fantasy points in this game, 10.4 total fantasy points in the previous three games. He's had no more than five targets in all four games since they've had that week five bye. Right. And so, he got four targets in this game. Like, he's a deep threat. They're going to take a couple of deep shots. He's going to have a couple of more games like this the rest of the season. Good luck figuring out when those are. I think I tweeted something to the effect of, like, hey, be honest, how many people picked him up after that huge game against the Vikings, started him for a number of weeks? He did nothing. You got frustrated. You waived him, and he's now going off on your league's waiver wire or somebody else's team. And I got a zillion responses to it because, listen. I will say this. I had Marquez Valdes-Scantling in our War Room League, 16 teams. I dropped him 2 weeks ago, and I feel no pain this morning. I'm not like, why did I do that? You know what I mean?
He's still
like,
available on waivers.
Whatever. He caught a big pass, and then just, you know, they ran the second touchdown was just sort of a gimme touchdown that they, you know, they faked to Aaron Jones. That was a brutal thing, by the way, as somebody who started Aaron Jones in a lot of leagues, is they were on the 1 yard line three different times, and Jones didn't get a carry in any of them.
My analysis on Robert Tonyan is that he's not Travis Kelce or George Kittle or Mark Andrews. He's not a tight end that you can trust every single week. The list is short. He had one catch last night. If you're riding the wave with Robert Tonyan, be ready for some downs and some ups.
Yeah, you know what he is? He's a fantasy football tight end.
Correct.
There's a couple of studs, but otherwise everyone else is just sort of touchdown dependent. You're hoping he gets into the end zone, and that's what Tonyan is now in that mix. Tonyan's a guy that has a shot to get into the end zone every week. But he also has a shot to do what he did last night, which is nothing.
I really quickly want to say there was a thing that happened towards the end of that game that I think maybe impacted a War Room decision that we had. Is that correct? The final drive of that Packers game?
I don't want to talk about it.
Don't want to talk about it.
I wasn't on the show. Yeah, Field and I are playing in the War Room league. You and I play in a number of leagues together. We played last week in the podcast show league, the league that we're doing for all the people here on the podcast. But the War Room is like the big league for us here. It's the league I care the most about.
I would say we all agree with that. We're playing, and you have Aaron Jones.
I have Aaron Jones.
You got a solid day.
Yeah,
we have the Packers defense.
Right.
And the Packers defense had 11 points going into the final drive of last night.
What happened?
They lost five of those points because of a worthless, meaningless...
Yeah, Richie James!
Touchdown from Richie James.
Nick Mullins and Richie James.
And the penalty on the sack that would have... Again, we were holding steady at 11 points with that sack. And instead, it's a penalty. Next thing you know, we drop down to just 6 points tonight.
It's important to call the game fairly, Field.
Oh, my God.
It's important to play to the final whistle.
Wow.
Everyone knows this. I'm just saying.
All right.
You can't let up. You can't take your foot off the pedal. Meanwhile, I said this to you before the show. You're catching me in the right week. Because, again, depth is hard to come by in a 16-team league. So Daryl Henderson, Kareem Hunt, my two running backs are on the bench this week for me. Right. So. It's a little dicey. I might be rolling out Irv Smith Jr. as a flex play this week.
I also picked up Darius Fountain, so you know he's going to go off against.
He is
going to
go off.
Weekend.
Everyone playing DFS in a GPP. Yeah. Throw Darius Fountain in a lineup.
I don't want to say we have a lot to get to, but how can we get through this 49ers conversation and just make it concise for people?
If you have a 49ers running back and you want to play them, and his name is not Raheem Mostert, tread lightly. I mean, Jerick McKinnon goes from easing him into the season to playing 88% of the snaps over back-to-back weeks or 80% of the snaps over back-to-back weeks to being basically a non-factor for multiple weeks to,
multiple
once
weeks.
Again, being let's just, you know, let's make sure we get some run for Jamichael Hasty tonight. And next thing you know, once again, Jerick McKinnon last night dominates the touches. I have no idea.
I don't either. Because I thought Jamichael Hasty, you know, like Mike Clay on Twitter, you know, said like, hey, that he thought Hasty would have a huge game and projected him for a huge game. And like I owned up to as well. I had Hasty as a top 20 play. You know, I ranked him as a top 20 running back this week. Thought he would have a really good game, obviously, against the Packers run defense that had struggled the week before against Minnesota and the Vikings. I thought to the eye test, I thought Hasty looked not only pretty good last week for the Niners, but I also thought he looked like, you know, the best guy they had, right? And he played 14 snaps. I mean, like, by the way, in those 14 snaps, I thought he looked like Jamichael Hasty, like he made some nice runs. He got around the corner on a couple of plays, but 14 snaps field.
Yeah, that's brutal. I got nothing. My offering is I hope Raheem Mostert is back soon.
Yes,
and I
thank
hope
you.
The 49ers are in a healthier spot, relatively speaking, by the time they next play in week 10. Tons of injury updates to get to today. And perhaps the most important one, Stefania, is Calvin Ridley for the Atlanta Falcons. What do we know on his status for Sunday against the Broncos?
Yeah, I'm concerned about this. Midfoot injury. Has not practiced yet this week. Obviously, we'll see if they trot him out on Friday, but I think there's legitimate concern about his availability.
All right, and as we know, Matthew.
Go ahead. Finish up.
I was going to say, as we know, this Falcons offense has had a bunch of random wide receivers step in at moments throughout the year, whether it's Olamide Zaccheaus, whether it's Russell Gage, whether it's Christian Blake.
Right.
But probably, Matthew, the person who stands to benefit the most, I would think, would be actually Hayden Hurst.
I agree.
If
so, you like, listen, he has, you know, listen, he's running, he's got 12 catches on 48 routes run. So 25%. 25%
when
Calvin Ridley is off the field, correct.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, just stands to reason. When you have a big name pass catcher who gets a lot of volume that's not there, that means there's more volume because we don't expect the Falcons to stop throwing. They're going to have to keep throwing. You know, Russell Gage suddenly becomes, you know, desperation flex in that territory. But I agree, good things could happen for Hayden Hurst this week. Real quickly, before we move on to some of the other injuries, I just want to mention, is Richie James a thing? 33 fantasy points last night. I know a lot of it came in junk time, but whatever.
Yeah,
I
mean,
I'm just asking you.
Envisioning
I think people
the possibility
that.
That Brandon Ayuk is back, the possibility that Kendrick Bourne is back, the possibility that Deebo Samuel, who initially was suspected to miss two games at minimum, now he's missed two. If all three of those guys are back in week 10, not a thing.
Not a thing. By the way, just in terms of the tight ends, Ross Dwelly played 38 snaps, Jordan Reed just 12 last night as well. So the, hey, Jordan Reed's going to come back and be awesome the way he was early in the season. Still waiting on that.
Let's move forward here with some other injuries to find. Let's just rip through a bunch of these, starting with Chris Godwin of the Buccaneers.
Yeah, limited this week with the index finger. I think I mentioned yesterday that Bruce Arians said Friday was the day they were going to see if he could catch balls. Remember, he's wearing a cast on that surgically repaired finger. He has hardware in there, so the timetable got moved up. There's a chance that he plays this week, depending on what they see today.
All right. That would be fascinating if they had all three Buccaneers wide receivers on the field on Sunday. You probably have to start all three of them, or at least Chris Godwin and also Mike Evans. More Antonio Brown just a little bit. A.J. Brown, Stefania, for the Titans. He's been managing this knee thing for the entire season.
I think this is don't worry about it. You see him not practicing for a day. I think they've learned that balancing his workload during the week helps him on the weekend. So I'm not concerned yet. That he didn't practice on Thursday.
I don't know this for a fact. A lot of teams do practice in pads on Thursday, so maybe it would make sense. If you give a guy a day off, it's not the day when you're running around in shorts and helmets, but rather the day of full padded practice. Matthew Stafford is probably the one that's going to lead, are probably going to hold us out until the last minute here, Stefania. He's on the COVID-19 list.
Right. But he is a high-risk close contact, somebody from outside the facility. That's what was reported. And his last contact with that individual was on Monday, meaning that you have be out the five consecutive days and then test negative on the sixth day. That would be Sunday. And if that all happens, then he could be available. Obviously, he could participate in virtual meetings, etc. But if he does test negative, he can be available and play on Sunday.
Saturday, 4 p.m. is the time that you should keep your Twitter notifications on. We'll probably know for sure at that point whether Matthew Stafford will play.
And we'll dive into what that means if he is not active for the Lions. Sunday morning, Fantasy Football Now, 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN2. I'm a company man, Daniel.
The Seahawks have a plan for Chris Carson this week, Stefania, and it sounds like that plan so far has been followed.
Right. They're not practicing until today. Now, Pete Carroll said yesterday that Chris Carson would get some work on Friday and then we'll see. Those were his words. So I think they want to see what he's able to do. He did say they expect Carlos Hyde to be down this week again with the hamstring issue, and they do expect Travis Homer to be available this weekend. So Chris Carson, the big question mark until they see what he can do on Friday. Still, again, midfoot injury, still tough to guarantee that this is not a big deal. Remember, they thought he might be available last week, and I said I'd be surprised if he was.
All right. Yeah, that's right. He missed last week, but at least there was some hope going into Sunday morning, as it was described by a source to Adam Schefter, a true 50-50. We'll see if those odds increase this Sunday.
And if it's not him, DJ Dallas, I think, would be the Seahawks running back you want. By the way, Buffalo is the third worst run defense over the last 4 weeks.
Yeah,
like, this is
good.
A good matchup for Seattle.
Totally. Agree on that one. Josh Jacobs, Stefania, what's he dealing with now?
A knee injury, but full participant in practice. So Josh Jacobs seems to be always dealing with something, and it's a knee issue this week, but it hasn't limited him, so I'm not very concerned.
That is good news. Last one here, not totally fantasy relevant, but at least on the radar, is Devontae Freeman, who, of course, missed last week's game for the Giants.
Yeah, the ankle injury kept him out of the game, but he did come back to practice. Now, Thursday is obviously the first day you get a report because of Monday night game, but the fact that he was out there on the first day is encouraging. I would expect if it continues well, Devontae Freeman could be available Monday night. We should know more by Sunday.
Okay. That is, he's playing Sunday, though. The Giants playing Sunday.
Oh, I don't know why.
Washington professional football team. They played last Monday night.
Oh, that's
same
right.
Idea, though. Yes,
you know,
that's right. Same
Monday
idea.
Night.
All good either way. But if
the
sits,
other New York team.
That's right.
That shall remain
nameless. Yeah, there you go.
Buffalo, the real New York team. The Giants. Yeah.
That was. I thought that was very gallant of Field, the way he pointed that out gently.
It was.
To Stefania. Like, she made a mistake. Yeah. He could have, like, made fun of her, but he didn't.
Blind squirrels find nuts, right?
Hey, Matthew.
Who's very gallant.
I think there's a learning opportunity for you right there, how Field handled that.
Yeah, it was boring and snoozy. Stefania, you got it wrong.
Wayne Gallman would likely step up in Devontae Freeman's place if he does not play on Sunday. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know it's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
From the moment they're born, you do everything you can to keep your kids safe. But who's looking out for you as you look out for them? The Volvo XC90 SUV with advanced safety technology helps look after you. From the standard blind spot information system that watches your sides and can steer you away from merging traffic, to standard cross-traffic alert with auto brake that watches your back and can automatically apply the brakes for people and oncoming traffic as you reverse. It's nice to know that someone's looking out for you. The XC90, for everyone's safety. Visit volvocars.com/US to learn more.
We are back. Welcome back to some select fantasy superstars. Just quickly on Christian McCaffrey, Stefania. I'm not creating hope for these people that I shouldn't be, should I? Am I?
No, I think, look, they continue to be very cautious. They're sort of, you know, cautiously optimistic every day. The big thing was that he came back to full padded practice this week. He responded well to that. I think they just are being so careful in case there's any last minute thing that causes them to want to be cautious with him. But as of right now, there really looks like all systems go for McCaffrey.
Fantastic news. And Joe Brady, their offensive coordinator, was asked, how does Christian McCaffrey look in practice? His response, he looks like Christian McCaffrey.
McCaffrey, right.
Say that right there is pretty good news. Matthew, we don't have to belabor this one. Maybe I'll have some fun. Over under number of fantasy points you went out of you expect out of Christian McCaffrey this weekend.
I will set the line at 83.
83?
And I'm going to take the over.
First half or no?
No. Give him the full half.
Full quarter.
What do we project? My guess, I haven't even looked at the projection.
24.5?
24.5? Is that your guess?
Or no, that's my guess. If I set the line at 24.5, first game back.
21.5 is his actual projection.
21.5. Mike's way off.
What is he now?
What was Mike smoking? 21.5 is actually pretty good. I was actually going to say, I was actually going to say 20.9. Literally, that was the number in mind.
All right.
So I'm going to take the over. I will take the over on 21.5. But weirdly, I would have taken the under on 24.3 or whatever it is you said.
Yeah.
Okay.
So but somewhere- I think that's about right. I think low 20s for Christian McCaffrey. For our purposes here, which is to advise people listening or watching at home, or in their car or while they're driving, you know, like whatever. Whatever you're doing right now, you're starting Christian McCaffrey. Don't get cute. You're not even thinking about it. You're not even, you know, like just stop.
I'm glad obviously. I'm glad you said that because I
thank you very much. Hashtag analysis. Right. Not Eli the best in the business for nothing, folks.
Eli Penny has a reasonable matchup on Sunday, so I was kind of wavering.
I understand.
Before we talk about Michael Thomas, again, two things.
But I will say this very quickly off of Christian McCaffrey. I don't know if you guys made this point earlier in the week. If I have Mike Davis, you're not starting Mike Davis, but you're also not dropping Mike Davis, who is one of the most valuable backup running backs in fantasy football. Do not drop Mike Davis. And let's see, by the way, there's a chance he's carved out a role for himself. My guess is not significant enough to be fantasy relevant, but
4 years, let's see. $64 million. That's my response.
That's what you're asking for in your next contract negotiation? Wow, that is aggressive.
Without pocket watching, that's what Matthew makes.
Just feels like, you know, I'm just saying, like,
no,
it's not very
much.
Gallant
four
to talk
years,
to talk money.
$64 million. You're going to play Christian McCaffrey as much as he can possibly play. All right, we're going to talk about Michael Thomas in a
although
second.
In fairness, Matt Rhule did say in the preseason that no one had earned their job. I was at Coach a press me. Conference of him where he said, Coach like, that everyone has to earn their starting job. Like, nothing's guaranteed.
Matthew was on time for one press conference, and he will never let us forget it.
All right, Matt, it drove me crazy when he said that. Like, stop it. Stop it. Of course, Christian McCaffrey's your starter.
All right.
Yes, of course, he's getting all the work.
Let's keep moving forward here with Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
Two parts of this, though, before we can talk about Michael Thomas. One is the health considerations. Stefania, you go first.
Yeah, limited in practice this week. They're still not upgrading him to full. I'm hoping that happens today because it would give us a better indication. Remember, he was limited all of last week and then ended up not playing. So we shall see. Saints playing it a little coy.
And Kyle Soppy has something to add to this conversation specific to a poll.
We ran a poll yesterday about, are you concerned about Michael Thomas's matchup and his return to action? No one, but only 56% of the vote. So that means 44% of people are nervous about this spot for Michael Thomas. Are you guys?
Yeah, you know why? Because like the people, I respect Mike Clay. Mike Clay came on the show yesterday and did his wide receiver cornerback matchups. And this was not part of the wide receiver cornerback matchup segment, but he did note Carlton Davis shadowed Mike Thomas and he limited him in a major way in week one. Am I nervous? Yes. Am I not starting him? No, of course not.
Say like, right. I mean, like it's fair to say like, hey, if I'm in DFS, I'm not really using him except in it's a tournament, that kind of thing. I'm not going to use him in cash games, but if you have Michael Thomas, if you've waited all this week, all this year, you know, to finally get your number one pick and he's active, you're starting Michael Thomas.
I will say,
go ahead. What are you going to say?
Narrative. Michael Thomas comes off of last year. And even after last year's insane performance, he had more doubters for a guy that had 149 catches than you could ever possibly imagine. People call him Slant Mike, right? Because, hey, all he does is run slants. I think he's in for a massive second half of the season because he has ticked off about all the coverage of Devontae Adams, DeAndre Hopkins, all these other wide receivers, all the naysayers picking apart his merits. Huge second half in store for Mike Thomas.
You know, players are human beings, and like all human beings, they react differently to different things. Michael Thomas is one of those guys that takes those slights or perceived slights seriously. Like we've seen it with Aaron Rodgers, right? I mean, you know, Aaron Rodgers was on all, you know, didn't make the top 10 players in the NFL 100 the previous two times he did it. He won the MVP. He's in the conversation this year as well, right? I mean, like, so Michael Thomas is one of those guys that, you know, takes those slights or at least perceived slights seriously. My only question is there any smoke? Like, we know about the injuries, right? But he was also suspended for a game because he punched a teammate. Like, do you think there's anything? Is there anything beyond just the injury there in New Orleans? This is wild speculation. I have no inside knowledge on this.
No, I'm
just saying, but like, it's just, I'm just saying, it feels
down that path.
All right, fair enough. I'm just asking.
Let's just watch the game and hope that he goes crazy this Sunday night.
I would agree with you that you're starting him if you have him. Stop. Yeah. You're starting him if you don't have him.
I got a lot of questions. I got some questions yesterday from people, and I'm sure you got countless questions yesterday, Matthew, about when Aaron Jones' workload was being called into question, right? And so this is one of the harder questions to answer in fantasy football when someone says, should I start Aaron Jones? Okay, well, like, who are the other options, right? Like, give me your options, and I can give you a much more informed decision.
If but also, like, and I tweeted last night, I said, I understand the concerns with the matchup and the reports of maybe only being used in a limited way. I'm starting him. If Aaron Jones is active, I'm starting him. And I ranked him as running back 16, and that's what I tweeted out last night, and obviously that ended up working out.
Right, he's currently RB2 for the week, so it looks pretty good to me.
Yeah.
But more seriously, so here's the thing with Antonio Brown. If you are asking me, should I start Antonio Brown this week? My best advice is to go check my ranks, man. And I understand if you're just debating between he and a running back that it's like a flex consideration. It's not that easy. But I have said this already once this week. I'm going to have Antonio Brown right at wide receiver 30. It's now moved up a spot because of Devontae Adams being removed from last night in the rankings. He's a top 30 wide receiver play for me because if you're looking at Antonio Brown versus, as I pointed out, Amari Cooper, or Hollywood Brown, which of those three wide receivers do you think has the best chance at 15 fantasy points this week?
Yeah, it's Antonio Brown. I'm going to show you something. So whatever, I have some stats here, right? They give us stats before the show. Thirsty Kyle does a great job. Here's what I'm doing. Turning the stats over. Doesn't matter. Because I'm going to tell you something.
Okay, I'm ready.
No matter what argument you and I give about stats, about what the over-under is, what the Saints give up in terms of in target share and what Antonio Brown has done, blah, 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 doesn't matter. Brand new situation, brand new environment. Player that hasn't played in a while.
Right.
With Antonio Brown, it's very simple. You believe or you do not believe. This is going to be entirely a gut call for everyone that has rostered Antonio Brown. And I'm going to tell you, as somebody who picked up Antonio Brown in a number of leagues, I'm going to tell you where my gut is, and that is I'm starting him. That I believe that if you think about how this played out, at the beginning of the year, Bruce Arians and management of the Buccaneers were asked, are you guys interested in Antonio Brown? No, we are not.
Right.
No, we are not, they said. And here comes Tom Brady. And Tom Brady says, I want Antonio Brown. He is my friend. I am close with him. I worked out with him in the summer. He's now living with me in Tampa Bay. Get me Antonio Brown. And what do you know? Antonio Brown signs with the Buccaneers. Antonio Brown had a lot of suitors that were interested in his services. Antonio Brown said, I'm coming to Tampa Bay to play with my buddy Tom. Tom Brady needs Antonio Brown to work, not just for football reasons, but for a variety of reasons. Tom Brady is going to make sure that Antonio Brown has every chance to succeed this week, especially, than I believe anyone else. So I believe he's going to get a ton of targets. He's going to be looked for early and often in a game that's high scoring, in a game where the over-under is north of 50, and where Mike Evans is going to a tough matchup with Marshawn Lattimore, and we don't know about the health of Chris Godwin.
Yep.
Give me Antonio Brown this weekend.
And by the way, even if Chris Godwin does play, a lot of what you just said still applies in my book.
Yeah.
Because even he played, 23 snaps last year in that debut with the Patriots after being there for 5 days, and he had, I think it was 5 for 61 with a touchdown.
Yeah.
So it's Antonio Brown. More often than not, he has delivered on expectations. Let's talk about some backfields here. And we'll do this every week.
Does Antonio Brown make the Instagram this week for TB12?
Maybe after
I think
game.
So.
Possible.
I think he does. I think AB makes the Instagram on Saturday.
The running back situation started to grate on me a little bit, as I have made clear over the past few weeks, that like how many more weeks are we going to discuss which Rams running back is clearly the best and whether or not you can 100% play Daryl Henderson over Malcolm Brown and he will definitely outscore him week to week. Well, the Buccaneers are definitely part of that conversation as well. Last week, Leonard Fournette played way more snaps than Ronald Jones, but Ronald Jones will probably be pardoned for that error of fumbling the football once last week and start the game this week. That's how I expect things to shake out, Matthew. As a result of that, I've got them both ranked inside my top 20. If you're asking me for a gut call, I don't have one. My gut is without a call this week on the Buccaneers running backs.
I have Fournette at running back 16. I have Ronald Jones at 21. So I'm basically right there with you. I think it's very close. I agree with you. The reason that Fournette played so many more snaps than Ronald Jones last week was because of the fumble. I agree with you that it'll be sort of forgiven and that they will go a little bit with a hot hand approach. But if you're asking me to make a call between those two guys, I have Fournette ranked higher, so I've made that call. And my argument there is, again, Fournette did nothing last week to, quote, lose the job, and he's also the better pass catcher. He's more involved in the pass game between the two running backs. And so in a game that we expect to be high scoring, in a game in which we expect Tom Brady to want to out-duel Drew Brees, not just on the scoreboard, but also in the box score, so I have Fournette slightly higher than Ronald Jones in this one. One thing just to sort of note, just a small little thing, but Tom Brady less than 12 points away from becoming the all-time leader in fantasy points scored. All positions,
for the history of the NFL, right now Jerry Rice is number one, the only guy that scored more fantasy points over his career than Tom Brady. We expect Tom Brady to break the record, which is a cool thing.
It is.
And so just something
who else might break the record?
Drew Brees.
Drew Brees, who's not that far behind Tom Brady, number three all-time in fantasy points scored. Let's talk about the Bills' backfield for a little bit, just because it seemed like last week we saw the best version of Zach Moss that we've seen all season.
Yep.
He got both of the rushing touchdowns for the Bills. It's a good match. The Patriots cannot, or whether they could not stop the run, or whether they were willing to just let the Bills run because of their very good passing game. Still, the point was both players had over 80 yards rushing. You think this is now Zach Moss's opportunity as he makes the love list this week?
Yeah, because the fact is that Zach Moss has twice as many goal-to-go carries as Devin Singletary. Zach Moss has missed like two or three games this year. I mean,
three.
And yet three, he's missed three games. Thank you, Stefania. He's missed three games this year. And despite missing three games through 8 weeks, he has twice as many goal-to-go carries as Devin Singletary. If you're telling me the rest of their usage is the same, which so far it has been, give me the guy that's got a much better chance at scoring a touchdown. I mean, I think it's sort of simple math there. Honestly, like neither guy, both guys have had moments where they've looked good, and both guys have had moments where you're just like, you sort of hope for a little bit more there. But honestly, I think that Zach, it's clear that for whatever reason, that if they're going to score a rushing touchdown, it's either going to be Josh Allen or it's going to be Zach Moss. It's highly unlikely to be Devin Singletary, who has three goal-to-go carries on the season. And so, and Zach Moss, to your point, converted, they were like from 10 yards out or something like 10, 12 yards out, but Zach Moss converted two rushing touchdowns last week. I don't know why they're going to go away from that.
Yeah, I can't imagine that they will. Broncos backfield, kind of a similar conversation. Philip Lindsay has played more and more of late, especially after returning from, I believe it was a concussion for Philip Lindsay, and also turf toe earlier on this season. You've got he and Melvin Gordon really close in your rankings. As a matter of fact, I think you have him the most narrow of all of our rankers. I've got Gordon inside my top 20 like Daniel, and you have him at 20, but you have Philip Lindsay right behind him at 23.
Yeah, another high-scoring game playing on the turf. Honestly, to the eye test, forget stats for a second, but to the eye test, Philip Lindsay's been the best running back for the Broncos, and honestly, not particularly close.
He's actually, as a matter of fact, leads the NFL in yards per carry amongst non-quarterbacks.
He's been great, and he's one of these guys that's just a big play waiting to happen. And I don't know if it's because Gordon signed the contract, or, you know, Philip Lindsay, once again, undrafted free agent, small guy. He never gets the respect. He always has to prove himself. But you know what he does? He proves himself. Well, go ahead. What were you saying?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask, you don't understand, or you're trying to figure out why he is, or what he does that's good. I was saying, what he does that is good. And I was going to say, he's just good. Just good.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Never fumbled.
He doesn't fumble. He's got great vision, great acceleration as well. For a guy his size, he's really tough. Like, you can run him between the tackles. Yeah, I don't know. Like, Thirsty Kyle brings this up. Melvin Gordon getting about 18 touches a game, 18.2. He's scoring a touchdown once every 21 touches a game. Phil Lindsay only getting, 11 touches per game. He gets a touchdown every 47 touches. So when they get in close, they're giving it to Melvin Gordon, which is why I have him ranked higher. Who's got the better chance at a touchdown? It's Melvin Gordon. But who's the better running back to the eye test? It's Philip Lindsay. And so I think it is much more of a split. I think they're seeing this they're seeing this more closely, and it's a high scoring game against the Falcons. Once again, there is the over under north of 50. So Falcons, by the way, have been better against the run recently. So we'll see if both these guys get involved more in the passing game here. But I prefer Gordon to Lindsay because the scoring equity to Melvin Gordon, but I have them close because I think Lindsay's the better player. And I think there's a decent chance that Lindsay ends up with more total yards than Melvin Gordon.
Ravens, Colts time. Both backfields need to be discussed here. But before we can get into J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards, Stefania, we have to figure out what's going on with Mark Ingram.
Yeah, this ankle injury we've learned is more of a high ankle type concern. So I don't think you're going to see Mark Ingram this week. He has not practiced.
Okay, which means more of J.K. Dobbins and more of Gus Edwards. Again, Matthew, you have these guys ranked much closer. You're banking on Gus Edwards scoring if you have him ranked at 26.
I am. Gus Edwards is good. I mean, listen, he is a straight ahead runner. Like, that's what he does.
Like, there's not a lot of wiggle to him. He's not involved in the passing game, but he is a straight-ahead runner, and this is going to be, my expectation, a bit of a committee here. I think Mark Ingram doesn't play, right?
That was a committee. Yeah.
I think so. Both guys get about even touches. I have Dobbins ranked higher because he's more involved in the passing game, and for our scoring, PPR scoring, he's got a better chance. He has a higher floor than Gus Edwards. But which one of these guys has a better chance at a rushing touchdown? It's Gus Edwards.
Maybe.
That is why, again, I have J.K. Dobbins at 18. I have Gus Edwards at 26. But listen, I mean, he is a good straight-ahead runner. And I think, yes, he has a shot at a touchdown. So, half the Ravens running back carries. Now, one thing that is worth noting here, and as we dive into this a little bit further, you know, he may come down a little bit in my rankings, but it's worth noting, you know, Ronnie Staley is a big loss for that Ravens offensive line. They have their offensive line is banged up, which has normally been a strength of the Ravens. So that's just something to work to notice. And it's not a good matchup here because the Colts have been really good against running backs. They're top five in terms of fewest fantasy points allowed to opposing running backs.
I've got Gus Edwards ranked decidedly lower than you. I just have a hard time envisioning two separate Ravens running backs cashing in against, as you mentioned, very good Colts defensive front. The Colts have their own interesting backfield dynamic going on this week with Jordan Wilkins and Jonathan Taylor potentially in the mix. I do want to ask Stefania, though, is both of them have appeared on the injury report this week. Any concern at all for either of them?
Well, I think we want to see how they look today. Both of them upgraded to a full practice yesterday after being listed as limited on Wednesday. And so, you know, you always want to see the day after. Jordan Wilkins dealing with a groin injury and Jonathan Taylor dealing with an ankle issue.
All right, so I have Jordan Wilkins ranked decidedly lower than Jonathan Taylor this week, like way, way lower. I know the note does not reflect that.
Okay.
Just so you know. Jordan Wilkins, way lower than Jonathan Taylor. You have Jordan Wilkins ranked ahead of Jonathan Taylor. Is that correct?
Correct. That is correct.
Really interesting.
Yeah, it is. But this is, again, this is one of those, like, just the eye test, right? And so, similar to the case, it's similar but different to the case in Denver, where you're like, you're watching these games, you're like, Phillip Lindsay is so much better than Melvin Gordon. Why do they not give Phillip Lindsay more work? And I don't know if it's because of they brought in Melvin Gordon or the veteran, or they just don't trust Phillip Lindsay to have a big workload. I don't know what's going on there in Denver, although Lindsay continues to add to his playing time. That's different in Indianapolis, where Jonathan Taylor hasn't proven anything. Jonathan Taylor has just two games this year with over 14 rushes, right? And we all thought he was going to be a bell cow when Marlon Mack went down, and that has not happened. He hasn't gained more than 68 rushing yards since week two. And you're like, well, will they go to Jordan Wilkins? They did last week. In the second half of last week, a game that they won, an impressive victory for the Colts, Jordan Wilkins had 14 of the 18 carries by Indianapolis running backs in the second half of last week. So my point is they said, you know what? Jordan Wilkins is the better guy for us right now. Keep going with Jordan Wilkins.
I think that was more because Jonathan Taylor got nicked up a little bit in that game.
That may be the case.
Yeah,
may be the case, but Jordan Wilkins did nothing in that performance for Frank Reich to say, like, oh boy, we got to get him out of there. Jordan Wilkins looked good last week. Will you grant me that?
He looked good last week. He's also averaging less than 4 yards per carry this year.
They all are.
How about this?
They all. I mean, like, they all are. But you're asking me. I gotta pick a Colts running back.
And here's what we can do.
I get it.
We can both pick running backs.
You don't have to pick a
board bet.
Whoa!
I say Jonathan Taylor outscores Jordan Wilkins in fantasy in week 9.
I say Jordan Wilkins outscores Jonathan Taylor in fantasy in week 9. Put it on the board.
Put it on the board.
Almost forgot Wilkins' last name there for a second. Good job by me. All right.
There you go.
The Dolphins have sort of a predicament on their hands right now in the backfield. As Stefania.
By the way, we'll see if the injuries play into this. I understand, but his injury is an ankle. You need both ankles to run. Right, Stefania? Back me up on that.
You also need a healthy groin to
You
run.
Do not. That's not true.
Ah, my finger.
Let's get into the Dolphins backfield here for a second, Stefania. As early in the week, we got some bad news on Myles Gaskin, and then when it rains, it pours sometimes, and looks like Matt Breida is also banged up.
Yeah, Matt Breida hasn't practiced yet this week because of a hamstring issue, so today's a big day. Brian Flores said he has a chance to be available this weekend, and I'm sure that chance will be predicated on what he's able to do today, but as you mentioned, they need him because Myles Gaskin now on injured reserve because of the knee injury that they said would keep him out at least for the 3 weeks.
By the way, Brian Flores did say he followed that statement about like he has a chance. I think he continued it with, but hamstrings are tricky, something to that effect. So I think he was foreshadowing. Let me get there. I think he was foreshadowing that he is probably going to be without Matt Breida on Sunday, which means Undertaker gift time. Jordan Howard is back, baby.
Two first names. Right. And before we get to Jordan Howard, all I was going to say on Matt Breida, even if Matt Breida is active, given his long history of starting a game and then leaving it early, and that he's he's dealing with a hamstring, missed practice all week, is there any chance at all you're playing Matt Breida this week?
I don't think so. I don't think he's going to play. I agree. I think it's going to be made for you. But Jordan Howard,
on the off chance he is
playing.
Active, I'm staying away. And Jordan Howard for the running back needy, and there's a lot this week given you got the Rams and the Eagles and the Bengals and the Browns out this week, and there have been obviously some injuries elsewhere we don't know about, Chris Carson, et cetera, et cetera. Listen, if you're desperate at running back, Jordan Howard qualifies at running back.
Yeah.
Like you can legally play him in your lineup at running back.
Are you playing him in the War Room League this week?
No, I didn't pick him up. Somebody else grabbed him.
Yeah, us.
Oh, nice.
So you know he's gonna going to go off. Oh, my gosh. It's going
to
be amazing.
No. I'm down to Troy Maine Pope. I'm down to like Troy Maine Pope and DJ Dallas and Jordan Wilkins in the War Room League here. Look, the thing is with Jordan Howard is
fall into the end zone.
You're hoping he falls into the end zone.
Yeah.
He's not involved in the passing game here. We honestly have no idea if this offense is going to be any good at all. We don't know what Tua's done, right? I mean, like last week, the Dolphins was all defense and special teams, and the Arizona defense is coming off a bye. They have 2 weeks to prepare, and that defense is playing really, really well. I'm not starting Jordan Howard unless I'm truly, truly desperate. But by the way, there's a league or two where I'm truly, truly desperate.
And so am I, apparently. Stefania, it's time now for our daily dose of Kenyon Drake. What's the latest on the Cardinals running back in that same game?
Still not practicing. This is an ankle sprain that looked really serious when it happened. The Cardinals came out and said maybe it wasn't as serious as they initially feared, referred to as a slight tear of a ligament in his ankle. I think it's still problematic for a running back. And with two missed practices already, I'd be surprised at this point. I mean, maybe he'll turn up limited today and have a chance for Sunday, but I don't feel great about it right now.
That means the beginning of the very compelling Matthew Berry versus my board bet of Kenyon Drake and also
Chase Edmonds,
points per game basis for the rest of the season, especially if Edmund takes on a more prominent role. We'll begin starting this weekend. Chase Edmonds has a great opportunity here. The Dolphins defense up until last week was considered kind of a vulnerable one against the run. I thought they did a good job bottling up the Rams. That being said, the game was out of hand early. So a good spot here. Chase Edmonds, a consensus top.
He's also a three down back, right? This is a guy that has five or more catches in three of the past four games here. He made the love list this week. So even if they're struggling running the ball, he's going to be part of that passing attack, and that's as good a passing offense as there is in the NFL right now.
If you're missing
this side of Seattle,
I was going to say, there are a couple of it, but still, very good passing attack. If you're missing the fun of the ballpark right now, you're not alone. But just because you can't be in the stadium doesn't mean you can't bring that classic ballpark feeling home. And the best way to do that is with ballpark buns and rolls. Ballpark and the ballpark go together like baseball in summer. They're an American pastime and America's favorite buns and rolls. They're an essential part of celebrations, big and small. There's nothing worse than your bun breaking under that pressure. Guess what? Ballpark buns and rolls never fall apart. They're always freshly baked, always soft, and always delicious. Ballpark buns and rolls are a great way to get a carefree taste of summer any time of year. Whether shared at the backyard barbecue, fall tailgate, or any manner of celebration year-round, you can't help but enjoy yourself when enjoying a ballpark bun creation. So next time you're picking up essentials for grilling, tailgating, a little slow cooker action, or a nostalgic night in, make sure you grab ballpark buns and rolls. Find them wherever you grocery shop.
You know the pressure you feel heading into a fantasy draft? You want to make sure you're picking all the right guys to get the job done. Because whatever your strategy is, be it Field Yates' strategy or Mike Clay or Tristan Cockcroft or Eric Carabel or Ken Dalby's strategy that you follow, at the end of the day, it's all about who's on your team. What we really need is something like ZipRecruiter for fantasy football, which they don't make yet, but hopefully soon. But ZipRecruiter in the real world makes hiring easier than ever. And right now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job sites, scanning thousands of applicants and actively inviting the most qualified candidates to apply. That way you can hire the right people fast. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter find a quality candidate within the first day. Imagine if we had something like that during our fantasy drafts, guys. We'd never lose. Try ZipRecruiter for free when you post your job at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter.com/06010. The smartest way to hire.
Time to look backwards before we look forward. A couple of players who stood out in Week 8, our expectations for them in Week 9. Corey Davis was wide receiver 4 in Week 8. Matthew, can he be started in Week 9? Titans play the Bears. It's not a great matchup.
It's not a great matchup, but the volume has been there. He's had 10 targets in back-to-back games. He scored in 3 of the last 4. And, you know, like, it's sort of what you said about Antonio Brown. I am at wide receiver 29. So I'm as a top 30 wide receiver. I'm as a wide receiver 3. I prefer A.J. Brown. It isn't a great matchup here, but again, volume and his ability. Honestly, Ryan Tannehill, A.J. Brown, and Corey Davis, a very narrow sort of target tree in Tennessee, right? I mean, like, Jonnu Smith has been very inconsistent so far, right? So it's really those guys. And, like, you'll be able to throw on Chicago. It's a good defense, but it's not a, like, oh my God, bench all your guys. Like, so if you normally start Ryan Tannehill, I would start him. If you normally start A.J. Brown, obviously you're starting him. If you would normally start Corey Davis, I would start him as well.
Definitely a name to have on the flex radar going forward as well. Mecole Hardman was wide receiver 7 last week. He had 22.6 fantasy points, Matthew. I could be way wrong. I'm not starting Mecole Hardman this week. Are you?
You'd have to be pretty desperate. I'm higher than you. I'm at 40. Just because, listen, if you're on Patrick Mahomes, if you're on the field with Patrick Mahomes, you just need one pass.
Right.
Right, you just need one play, and it's a good matchup for Kansas City. Of course, they all are, but the concern is the inconsistency, as you mentioned. So he had the 7 catches in Week 8. He had 15 catches in 7 games prior to Week 8. So he's just, you know, he's a boom or bust sort of guy. I'm at wide receiver 40. Ideally, you have better options, more consistent options than Mecole Hardman this week.
Same deal here with Curtis Samuel, who last week was wide receiver 10 with 21.4 fantasy points. Again, it's the volume. It's the return of Christian McCaffrey. It's a Chiefs defense that, as Mike Clay told us yesterday, is actually very good against wide receivers.
Yeah.
Is this a situation where Curtis Samuel is going to be the player that actually sees them, other than Mike Davis, obviously, where he sees the most reduction in either snaps or targets with Christian McCaffrey coming back into this office? Because you would think that DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson would still be involved fairly heavily with how they've played the first half of the year, right?
Yeah, possible. I mean, he got the running touchdown last week, the rushing touchdown last week, so it could be that, you know, those opportunities go by the wayside now with Christian McCaffrey. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, the volume hasn't been there for Curtis Samuel. Like, he's bailed you out with a couple of rushing touchdowns, which I think don't go, you know, he doesn't get with Christian McCaffrey back. He caught one passing touchdown last week. Like you prefer Robbie Anderson, you prefer DJ Moore, you prefer Christian McCaffrey in terms of the passing game. So best case scenario is he's the 4th option in this passing attack. I don't know that the versatility is there. There's enough versatility and usage there to make you feel good about starting him at wide receiver. I'm at wide receiver 43. Just because we're talking about the Chiefs-Panthers game real quickly, just got an alert that NFL Network is reporting that Chiefs standout Chris Jones is back in the building and set to practice today. So, you know, a good sign there for the Chiefs defense if he can be cleared and be back on Sunday.
I think this one's a little bit different than the past two players we discussed, and Mecole Hardman and Curtis Samuel. That's Mike Williams, who was wide receiver 11 last week, because what we know with Mike Williams is that, like, he's got two outcomes. It's either completely irrelevant or a top 20-ish wide receiver, and he's done this now for multiple years. So I think Mike Williams, if you're playing him this week, Matthew, is you're either down big because you played against Devontae Adams or Aaron Rodgers last night, or you need a Hail Mary because you're, you know, struggling to stay afloat and you're playing one of the best teams in your league. Mike Williams is boom or bust.
He is boom or bust, but I feel like, just unlike some other players, like with the thing with Mike Williams, you're either put him in your lineup and you're starting him the whole time, or you're not. Like, trying to guess what's going to be a big Mike Williams game and what's not, I think is a bit of a fool's errand here. He leads the Chargers in deep targets and catches once Justin Herbert took over, which is nice. He does feel to be a little bit more consistent than he has been in years past with real quarterback play. All due respect to Philip Rivers. But, like, Herbert's something special here. So, like, to your point about the inconsistency, he's never had consecutive games with 15 or more fantasy points. You know, last week he obviously had 21. But I'm as a top 30 play this week. I'm more pro Williams than not. I think there is something there between Williams and Justin Herbert.
We are all pro Marvin Jones, as Kenny Golladay not going to play this upcoming weekend because of a hip injury. He was wide receiver 16, was Jones, in week 8. This obviously is contingent upon Matthew Stafford playing. If he does not, then it's hard to envision the same level of confidence. It will be Chase Daniel under center for the Detroit Lions. But
he
good matchup
here. Usable in a wide receiver 3 range. It's a great matchup here. And here's the thing about Chase Daniel. Like, he's a professional quarterback. Like, Chase Daniel ain't great. You know what I mean? But he's not like a disaster like some other backup quarterbacks are. Chase Daniel's like a professional NFL quarterback. Like, he's a backup for a reason, but like, he's not a disaster, is what I'm
going
to say.
He's going to the money-making Hall of Fame, too. Just go check the receipts on those contracts.
Yeah, 100%.
Stefania, you have an update here on Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, coming in from a lot of the reporters who covered the Atlanta Falcons, speaking with Raheem Morris this morning, giving an update on Calvin Ridley. And this is a reflection of the impact that the COVID-19 situation has on being able to evaluate players when the facility is closed. Said that they were hoping to see him in practice today. They feel like he's making good progress with his foot, something we wouldn't know about because they haven't been able to update us. He has not been a participant. They were going to test him today. Can't do it with the facility closed, so his status is up in the air. It'll be interesting to see if they push that to tomorrow.
Okay. Well, we'll have more updates tomorrow. If we get them on Calvin Ridley, follow Stefania _ESPN on Twitter for the latest. One more player that was really good last week, Matthew, makes your love list this week is Darnell Mooney. Many may not know him. He's a Bears rookie out of Tulane, and he is very, very fast.
Yeah. By the way, top 20 wide receiver last week, 17.9 fantasy points. And this is not a fluke, right? I mean, he's been getting a significant amount of targets for a number of weeks. It's been inconsistent in terms of them getting to him. Nick Foles' play has been up and down, let's be honest here. But if you look at the air yards per target, the leaderboard in air yards per target among wide receivers that have 40 or more targets, Hollywood Brown is number one. DK Metcalf is number 3. Tyreek Hill is number 4. Calvin Ridley is number 5. You know who's number 2?
Ted Ginn.
Darnell Mooney. So I'm just saying, like, super fast. They love this kid in Chicago. He's clearly the number 2 wide receiver after Allen Robinson. And you love this matchup for Chicago going against a Titans team that's bottom 10 in terms of passing yards allowed over the last 4 weeks. Their secondary has really struggled. They're going to take a couple of deep shots to Darnell Mooney. So, yeah, I have him wide receiver 36, and somebody that's worth picking up in 12, 14-team leagues if he's available.
A guy who's coming on strong in the second half of the season. All right, the Steelers are favored big on the road against the Dallas Cowboys. We still do not know who's going to start for Dallas under center, Cooper Rush, and also Garrett Gilbert being considered. But let's get into the players that we are starting with confidence this week. And Matthew, you, very smart, like me, have Ben Roethlisberger all the way up in your top 8 for quarterbacks. He makes the love list as well.
Cowboys allow a touchdown at the second highest rate. Big Ben has had multiple passing touchdowns in 6 of his 7 games so far this year. You know, and by the way, just seems to crush the NFC East, right? Killed the Eagles, killed the Giants, hasn't played Washington. He will kill Washington later on in the season. I think he kills Dallas here as well. Like, you know, you had me at the Cowboys.
Yeah, it's weird to say that Chase Claypool is your lowest ranked Steelers wide receiver, but also makes the love list. It's because you've got Deontay Johnson inside your top 14, Juju at 23, and Chase Claypool at 24, who also, as I mentioned, makes the love list.
Yeah, the only concern here on Big Ben, I mean, it's going to be a big James Conner game as well. The only concern is like is that what happens here is what happened with the Browns game. Remember the Steelers, like Baker Mayfield just sort of imploded and the Steelers got up big. And Ben actually, despite the fact that they put up, I want to say 38 points off the top of my head, Ben did not have a great fantasy day because they didn't need to. Like the defense got a touchdown. Like that's the only concern here is that Garrett Gilbert and or Cooper Rush, and there's a chance you see both these guys in this game, that those guys just don't generate enough offense and the Steelers are up big early and they just don't need to do much. That's the only concern with Ben and the Steelers passing offense in this game.
Name a Cowboy, they might very well make the hate list this week for Matthew, including probably the two most startable Cowboys in Ezekiel Elliott and also Amari Cooper.
Ever since Dak Prescott went down,
yeah,
I believe he is running back 33.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Ezekiel Elliott is, running back 33. I wrote my love-hate, which is out on ESPN.com. It came out a little bit late this week, but please check it out. I'm a company man. And At the beginning of it, Field, I did 12 blind resumes just to sort of give you an idea so we can recalibrate our thinking. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to give away one of them now. There's still 11 others, but like since Dak, one of the blind resumes is Ezekiel Elliott in the three games on a per game average, what his averages are since Dak Prescott was injured. And they compare very favorably. By favorably, I mean they're basically the same as Latavius Murray.
Ooh,
like that's what Ezekiel Elliott. No, that's not. That's my point. Right, exactly. That's not. I mean, like, that's what they've turned Ezekiel Elliott into. Like, he is seeing seven or more men in the box on almost 80% of his carries. Right. I mean, they're saying like we're going to take our chances with Ben DiNucci or Cooper Rush or Garrett Gilbert, AF superstar Garrett Gilbert. Like, we're not going to let Zeke beat us. You probably still have to start him because of the volume there. But for the first time in my history as a fantasy football ranker, I have Ezekiel Elliott outside my top 10 in a week in which he's healthy.
As if it wasn't a bad enough matchup and the struggles there, Stefania, he's also in the injury report this
week. Yeah, I mean, he may not be fully healthy, but he is going to play. Mike McCarthy said that they don't consider his hamstring injury to be serious, despite the fact he's been limited throughout this week, and they do expect him to play, but he may not be 100%.
All right, yeah. Well, he sounds like he will play, which is good news. Last thoughts here of the show, Matthew, is whether you would play Amari Cooper.
If you have Ezekiel Elliott, you need Tony Pollard. Yes.
Would you play Amari Cooper this week?
Wait a second. Can I push back on that?
Sure.
Right now with the Cowboys quarterback situation.
As bad as they are, like.
Would you start Tony Pollard if they did not have anybody else at quarterback like they have right now, in all honesty?
It would depend on what you have there, right? But here's what would happen.
Other options to add on the waiver wire next week are like LaMichael Perine.
Yeah, I mean.
Troy May Pope.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Like, I will say that he has looked. Tony Pollard, honestly, at times has looked better than Ezekiel Elliott. More burst, faster. I don't know if it's the injury or whatever, but Tony Pollard's a good player. And if Ezekiel Elliott were hurt, Tony Pollard would get a significant workload. I get it. The offensive line is bad. The offense is bad. But yes, if you lose Ezekiel Elliott to injury, you're going to want to have Tony Pollard. You're going to want to at least have that option. You're not going to have to go to the waiver wire and try to fight to get Tony Pollard or spend all your fab money or whatever it is. So that's all. So yes. Okay. Is what I'm saying.
That's fair.
Insurance policy. Last thought here, Matthew. Amari Cooper, start or sit this weekend?
Sit. If you can. Yeah. Sit if you can. Like, he's also been bad. And again, it's a bad matchup, right? You know, the Steelers lead the NFL in pressure rate and blitz rate, right? The seventh lowest wide receiver catch rate. There's nothing that Amari Cooper has done recently that makes you feel good about it. We just don't know what you're going to get out of Cooper Rush or Garrett Gilbert. Like, yes, ideal. Like, I'm at wide receiver 26, which is the lowest, again, that I think I've ever ranked a healthy Amari Cooper.
Yeah. Question. Quick question, and because I know we need to wrap this up. If you were going to play Amari Cooper, do you feel more comfortable saying, I'm playing him because I need a safe floor, or I'm playing him because I need 25 points this week?
Yeah, the safe floor.
Oh, really? I was going to say the upside. Like, he could easily, because again, we don't know if this passing offense is going to be any good. And then even if it is good, it could be a CeeDee Lamb game. It could be a Michael Gallup game. And we saw last week, Ben DiNucci was looking for Michael Gallup. I mean, to me, you're starting Amari Cooper because they take a shot deep. And maybe he, you know, like what we saw last week with last night with Richie James. Like, maybe there's some junk time. Maybe there's one drive where it's all Amari Cooper after the game's been decided. But like, Amari Cooper could easily goose egg this one. So.
On second thought, understanding his Jekyll and Hyde history, you would be chasing the upside here, I guess, if you are going to start Amari Cooper. Either way, it's a perilous decision if you decide to go down that path. We got to go. Fantasy Football Now, Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN2. Read, love, hate. Follow everybody on Twitter to get the latest. And of course, we will be back on Monday as well, recapping everything that takes place in all of the Week 9 action.
I just want to say a quick shout out. Yesterday was a very tough day here in Bristol for all of us, and we are thinking of all of our colleagues. Yesterday was awful. Peace out.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.